Welcome to The Climb, the podcast where we conquer our inner mountains. I'm Natasha Wallstra, your host and guide on this transformative journey. This show is brought to you by the Inner Mountain Foundation, inspired by the work of Diane Wong, empowering women everywhere to stand up, speak out, and make a difference. Every episode, we explore a theme related to personal growth and empowerment, drawing on the experiences and insights of extraordinary women. This isn't just a listening experience. It's a call to action, an invitation to grow, and a journey of discovery. So are you ready to embark on today's climb? Let's begin. Well, Dee, I am super excited to have you here today. How are you doing?
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I couldn't wait for this. This is going to be great.
It is. And there's so many things I want to talk about, especially, of course, your background and your entrepreneurial journey and how you're helping founders and entrepreneurs today. But first, I would love to talk about who you are to me and exactly why you're on this podcast, because you are probably... I would not be where I am both personally and professionally in my life if it weren't for our relationship and our history. And so I'd love to talk about how we met and a little bit about mentorship. What do you think?
That sounds fantastic.
Very cool. So you and I, our story is kind of funny because we worked together back in our 3D printing days, and it wasn't even in headquarters where we met. It was in Chicago at the largest international manufacturing technology show in the world. I think there was like 200,000 people that go. It's 7 days long and it's absolute mayhem. I still had no idea who this person was, but all of a sudden, I think it was day five, somebody shows up at our booth with all this Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, who is this incredible woman that's taking care of us and feeding us when we all need it so much right now? And so that was my first introduction into Miss D. Kerr. And it wasn't till maybe 2 weeks later that we actually did meet in off the booth and in headquarters in Redwood City here in California. And you just came up to me and said, there's something about you. I'm taking you under my wing and I'm going to be your manager. I think you even literally took our team and put it underneath your team. And so it was the craziest thing, because I had never had somebody ever like acknowledge anything that I've done in the workforce. And it changed the direction of my entire life. And so I'd love to hear your side of that story. Maybe I know I tell it so many times, but I don't know what your side was. So I'd love to hear that. And then, you know, just talk about mentorship in general, where it's been, where we've gone since then.
Yeah. Meeting you has been one of the joys of my life. Let me tell you, I've had a long career and I will never forget that trade show and meeting you for the first time there. And then after that, at headquarters, and I had watched you and I just saw something in you, and I watched how you interact with people, the gift that you have with really connecting with people and getting to know them and building a real relationship with people, your ability to connect others. Anyway, I saw something really special in you, and it's been fun to watch you grow, personally and professionally. It truly is one of the joys of my life. And it's something that I look forward to. I feel like I'm in the front row seat with popcorn getting to watch you. And it's just so exciting because I know that great things are coming for you, because hard work always pays off, but it's more than hard work. You also work very smart and it's very genuine. And you really do have people's best interests at heart, your clients, your connections, friends. And I also love how you take other people under your wing and help mentor them. So it's the gift that keeps giving. And that's really what mentorship is all about. I wouldn't be where I am in my life without my mentors. But I can also say that having you at this stage, you'll even mentor me on things. It's just the gift that keeps giving. And if we can continue to do that and pay it forward, pay it left, pay it right, pay it down, we're all going to be so much better with the help that we can receive from others. But yeah, again, you've been joy.
So what I love about the story so much too of how we met and just being in each other's lives since then is this idea of, you know, mentorship and even women supporting women. That's not something I had ever experienced in the workplace and other organizations. And you leading by example and being there telling me, you know, you're good at this. Let me support you. And celebrating our wins and, you know, putting me in front of the right people. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about is, you know, instead of taking credit for something, you really like helped me shine in a way that I didn't know was possible. And it helped me believe in myself, which at the time I really didn't. And so since then, your guidance and mentorship has helped me really come out of my shell and led me to now start my own business, which again, not something I could have done had I not had this type of mentorship. And so I'd love to hear too, you know, how has mentorship changed and impacted your life?
A great question. It's mentors can help you achieve more than you ever thought was possible, especially if it's done right. And you brought up a really great example of getting you in front of the right people. And, you know, the types of mentors I've had have done similar for me, where it wasn't about them getting all the credit. It was about setting me up for my success. And you and I have talked a lot about stretch goals. You know, so how do you, if the end goal is to get to this type of position, what types of activities, presentations, you know, work do you need to get exposure to be able to grow and stretch into that position? And so when we laid out your developmental plan, we took a look to see what types of things that you needed to just get exposure to it. And my mentors did the same for me. And, you know, that is a gift that keeps giving, because what I learned from my mentors, the Peter Hoens, the Mike Brandows, the Chris Shawns, Chuck Liley, amazing people that I, you know, still stay in touch with today. They gave me, you know, the gift of development, the gift of caring, the gift of mentorship. And you and I can continue to give that to other people in our lives and help them grow and see the magic that they are. They just haven't been exposed to it and they don't know they can do it yet. But, you know, with you, I saw it. I knew you had it in you. And I think my mentors probably saw a lot more capabilities in me. But mentorship is one of the most important things that we can give to another person. If we see someone that needs a lift, we should reach out and help them.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I told you this, but a couple of weeks ago, I spoke at the University of South Carolina at the School of Business there. And my first slide is actually a copy of that drawing you sat me down and drew the first time we ever connected. I think it was, you know, a straight line up. And you said, that's how people think your career goes and how success moves is just straight up. But then you drew another line right next to it that went up and down and right inside like a kind of a playground, right? Yes. And you're like, this is actually how it goes, right? And that's okay, right? It's, you know, this idea of what, how society has placed like what it means to get your job, you move up, you get another job, you move further up. Like that's not typically the reality of success, right? And having seen that, you know, it would have saved me. I wish I'd seen that earlier in my life, because it would have saved me a lot of anxiety growing up in my 20s, having done something a little bit different. And so actually paying it forward when I shared that with the students who are about to graduate and wanted to make sure that they understood, like, it's okay not to know what that next step is. And also all of those experiences that may not have taken you forward, but sideways or down, they all help you get to where you need to get to. Right. And so that was, I have that just image in my mind, and finally I'm sharing that with people too.
Oh, that is such a wonderful thing. Yes. And I work with a group of young professionals now, and I actually did that same talk track with them because they're just so excited about getting to the next position. And what ends up happening is if you move too quickly upward, you don't have the breadth and width of experience to be able to really do a good job at the next level. So moving too quickly can end in a lot of stress. And usually you're setting yourself up for failure sometimes, because those lateral moves to the left and right, and even taking a step down to do something that you haven't mastered earlier in your career, will help you later as you do grow into the next position. So I'm glad that you shared that with the students, because it's something I too wish I would have had a little bit younger, because I thought I wasn't doing great unless I moved to the next role, not realizing I could be shooting myself in the foot because I didn't have enough experience.
Yeah, totally. Would have saved me definitely a lot of stress back then. So speaking of students though, so you had a startup that you built and exited, and it was around education, right? I'd love to hear more about this business and some lessons learned around that. So take it away.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. After spending much of my career in sales, leading teams, international teams, I figured before I get too old, I've always wanted to do exactly what you're doing. I wanted to start my own business and see if I had the chops for it. The company was called SteamTrax, which is engineering and 3D printing, and it was sold in the K-12 market, so an educational product. And it was really designed 18 modules for all grades to help teachers get comfortable with technology. Most teachers don't go to school to learn 3D printing or other types of technology, so they're really frightened of it. I mean, to get up in front of a classroom and not have mastery of something is scary, especially with students. So it was as much for the teachers as it was for the students, and it taught about engineering, the engineering practices, how to solve problems, and the underlying math and science required to solve the problem, and then use the 3D printer to create the prototypes, as engineers do, to solve the problem. And I had a successful exit, a lot of lessons learned along the way, those we can unpack a little bit, but oh my goodness, if I could go back and do it again, the advice I'd give myself, there would be many lessons learned from it, but overall, an absolutely amazing experience, hard work and very rewarding.
It sounds like it. And it's such a, especially now with 3D printing, taking the stage in so many ways, it's curious that you got into it when you did. So I am interested about some of the lessons learned, because I know that you did end up working with investors on that. And that's something that we always hear, you know, startups partnering with investors, and it's like a big goal, or people are so excited about it, but it's not always butterflies and rainbows. And I'm curious what your experience was like, and, you know, what sort of advice would you have give your fast self?
Yeah. I would tell myself to slow down, because yes, you are so excited when someone is going to give you a bolus of funds to create your product, hire your team, all of those things. And I think the excitement of getting the funding, things like really reviewing the contract in its entirety and really understanding all the fine print would be something I would tell my younger self to slow down. Yes, it's exciting to get the funding, but really pay the money for an attorney. It's the best money you will ever spend to make sure you truly understand what the investors will get out of it. What does your stock situation look like, especially if you've created the product? Like, it was my product. I created it. It was mine. So what do I get out of it? What are preferred stocks? What happens in an LLC with board, the board and the governance? How do you protect yourself in case the investors want to exit early? What protections and clauses can be put in place? If you think the investor is going to put all of those protections in for you, the CEO or the founder of the company, they will not be putting those things in. It is up to you to slow down and negotiate those. So my younger self would slow down, make sure to have a really knowledgeable attorney to help me walk through the fine print and understand every single line of the contract and put the protections in place to make sure that the exit isn't only fruitful for your investors, but also for you, the person that has put the 7 days a week, 20 to 22 hours a day with no sleep for the whole length of time to create everything. So that was probably one of the biggest learnings that I had.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like when you go to an interview, you're not just being interviewed by them, by the company, you're also interviewing them, right? It goes both ways. That's and right. So you need to make sure that That's it's right. not just one-sided and that they, you know, everyone has their own interests in themselves, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's just making sure that, you know, you want it to be a wonderful experience for all involved. And you'd hate to be in a relationship with an investor to know that it is one-sided, because that isn't any type of partnership there. You know, anyway, that was definitely a key learning.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think a startup company does, and it helps you realize how much you can do and how capable you really are, because you're pushed to limits beyond your comfort zone. One day you might be the accountant, then you're selling, then you're looking at the product margins, the pricing, all of that. You step back, you're doing strategy, you're preparing for board meetings. And you wonder, you know, especially in the very beginning when it's only maybe yourself and a couple of other people, you're doing so much. So after that startup experience, it was the best commercial learning of my life. I realized that there's so much more to me and there's so much more that I can do. And I just didn't even know that it was possible, but it puts you in a position to really push yourself.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me at all, because since I've known you, you then went and led the entire education at Carbon 3D, right? And then you went into a completely different industry within 3D printing and dental. And so like all the different hats that you've had to wear, it comes from having to run and build a company like that, right? Like you are capable, anywhere you step into, you would be able to see what needs to be done and how to make it successful. It's actually the most astonishing thing to see and watch happen in real time. I absolutely love it.
It's fun. I'm watching you do the same right now. And it is. It's just fun to know that even if it's a blank slate in front of you and it's something you have to figure out, if you surround yourself with great people and ask for advice and ask for help when you need it, that people will come to your rescue. I mean, you think about Carbon 3D and some of the brilliant engineers who were at my beck and call. I had thousands of questions, not hundreds, thousands. And they all were so patient with me. And they knew that I was very serious about, you know, what we were producing together, and getting all the technical details correct meant so much. And it's really, no matter what phase of life or no matter what business you're in, you know, asking for help, surrounding yourself, researching it, anything is possible. Even with a blank slate and you have no idea how you're going to solve the problem, great minds can help you achieve that goal.
Yeah. And that's why it doesn't necessarily matter the industry in, right? You just have to have the desire and curiosity to learn and take it on, right? And be passionate about it, of course, at the same time. So I guess that actually is a great segue in leading us into what you're doing today and how you landed into the book publishing world, which is very interesting, especially having now myself experience some time in that. And that's actually how I met Diane, through our time at Forbes Books. I didn't understand anything about the world of book publishing until I got into it. And it is such a unique industry. There's so many different types. So I'd love to, maybe if you can give us like a crash course, publishing 101, you know, what is like the differences of the types of publishing, and then how do you support entrepreneurs now and how do they leverage book publishing for their business? And I know I just asked all the questions right now, but we'll dive into one at a time.
I mean, people ask me all the time, how on earth did you end up from engineering technology to book publishing? Like, really? Like, how is that a fit? And it's really interesting if you think about my career over the past 25 years and some of the experiences that I've had in running a business and understanding profitability and margins and lead generation and business development and marketing and platform building and all of that. It's all those experiences that make me very uniquely qualified for helping an author, somebody like yourself who would be using the book as a business tool to help grow their business. I will help them with all the strategy that kind of goes into how they will use the book as a platform to help grow their business, to help with lead generation, to be the credible source, the person that wrote the book on it. So I really enjoy working with the authors and using all of my past experiences to help them with that and to whiteboard with them and help them figure out how they can you know, strategically use the book as a tool, how they plan for that. So that is very exciting to me, and I love it. As far as publishing, there are really three main arms. There's self-publishing, which has really emerged over the past many years, that, you know, most people can publish anything and get it out there into the world. It's wonderful. There's hybrid publishing, which is in the middle, which is where Greenleaf Book Group, where I work, people will invest in their project and use the book as a tool to help grow their business. And with that, just like self-publishing, they'll own their own intellectual property. Same for hybrid. They can use it for blogs. They can use it in marketing. They can take little snippets out of the book and use it for other things. They own it and can do whatever they like with it. If a docuseries comes along and someone wants to take the book and turn it into that, again, they will get all the benefit from that and, you know, create a high quality book that goes into bookstores. So that's hybrid publishing. And then there's traditional publishing, which is all we ever really knew. People would get a book agent and work with, you know, Random House or Wiley, you know, a big traditional publisher. And they would get a small advance. The traditional publisher, in most cases, owns the rights to the work. So they give you a small advance for the rights of your book. So they own it. So you really can't just go and use it as you wish. You need permissions to do so. And that's a little bit on the three different avenues in publishing.
Yeah, it's so fascinating because I knew nothing about it except for the traditional sense. And now, you know, self-publishing especially has become more accessible, which is wonderful to see. I guess, so using me as an example, let's say, when would it make sense to publish a book? Because I always used to think of it as something you would do at the end of a career, right? Maybe do a memoir, autobiography, let's say, but that's actually not the case, right? You don't want to do it that route when it's leveraging it for business development. So what kind of questions do you typically ask the CEOs and leaders that you work with? Like, where do they need to be, where it makes sense? You know, what is that starting point?
Yeah. Oh, it's a really great question. And I would tell anybody that's an entrepreneur, a business owner, someone that could leverage a book for a tool to start thinking about setting aside budget for that, and using it as a business development budgetary item that they actually plan for in their P&L. Definitely to start to think about that sooner than later. And when the perfect time to publish a book is when you have enough materials and experience, or if your business is something unique and you can use it as the best calling card ever to get additional business. You know, that's a good time, coupled with the fact that you really want to have a strong author platform. And that's where work that you do, Natasha, comes in. It's like the hand in glove. They want to be set up on, you know, LinkedIn. They want to have, you know, their proper channel set up. They want a strong author platform. Obviously, if they've got, you know, a mailing list or a newsletter, I mean, they can start to begin hype quite early on while the book is being, you know, written and teasing the audience with different things, you know, the whole X number of months until publication. Without an author platform, it does become a little bit harder because there's so many books that are coming out each day here in the United States. So to really be very strategic and deliberate about the book and how it will be used, and to have the platform to be able to capitalize on the different connections and the influence of others to help really get the book into the right hands.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things that I realized too. It's like, it's not like if you build it, they will come, right? If you don't have an audience or a community that you're engaging with, no one's ever going to know about the book, despite it being potentially like the best book ever. Right. And so it's really important to set that foundation. Right. Mm-hmm. And so are you seeing, you know, I was actually also shocked to hear what type of industries a book could be good for, including the dental space, right? And so what are you seeing a trend? Like, where is it industry agnostic? Like, who could fit this world that it would make sense to leverage a book for business development?
Yeah, definitely. It can be in any trade. It can be financial, the financial realm, the dental realm, the health science realm, for sure, 100%. Even surgeons, preventative cardiologists, any of those, especially if they have a special message or a special methodology in which, you know, they would like to get the book into the hands of. I'm seeing a huge trend in coaching. There's a lot of executive business coaches, a lot of mind, body, and spirit coaches. So self-help books as well, that people that have online courses or camps or retreats, a book can be a fantastic tool to accompany anybody that's in public speaking, who's doing a lot of speaking. They can create a book and use the book as part of their speaking fee to help with, you know, book sales. So if it costs, you know, $15,000 for you to give a talk at XYZ, build the book into the package. So people who are doing speaking on a particular topic, I mean, there really is no better way to build your credibility than the person that wrote the book on it. I mean, it's instant credibility.
Yeah, no, it's quite astonishing. Even, you know, I heard somebody the other day who's kind of saying like books don't have the same weight like they used to, you know, everyone is writing a book. It's like, well, it's more accessible now, but it's still a huge feat to do. And so, you know, as I'm in the beginning stages of my, you know, entrepreneurial journey, it's something that you mentioned to me too before, is document everything, right? You never know what's going to be like that light bulb moment in the future. Right. And so I think, you know, as we're starting this journey myself, and then those that are in the middle of it all, like there's so much information that you're consuming throughout the day and that you're learning and that you're teaching. So, you know, keep track of that and then see, you know, it might make sense at some point to write a book, and not at the end of your career, right? We're looking at this as opportunities for brand awareness, for, you know, authority building, thought leadership. I mean, there's just so many ways that this can help drive and accelerate your business goals, right?
Oh, absolutely. Don't wait to the end of your career. Let it help you build your business. And if you are not a writer, you do not have to be fearful of that. Manuscript development, even if you can write a little bit, you can be paired with an editor that can help you get a book outline and do a fantastic book. And they'll coach, assist, and be there through the manuscript development. And if you are not up for that at all, you can actually hire a ghostwriter. And I could not believe my time with you at our, you know, when we worked in publishing together. Almost every single author was a ghostwritten author. I mean, they need help to write a book. You know, just like there's accountants that are great with numbers, and you wouldn't think of, you know, if you didn't know anything about numbers, doing your own tax return or trying to figure out your tax credit, you know, issues, you'd go to an accountant. Well, the same can be said about writing, and ghostwriters can help an author, you know, outline the book and do a whole complete book outline and help them write the book and get it all the way over the finish line.
Yeah, no, there's just so many ways to help get it done, especially if, like, most likely you're not an expert in writing. That's what there are writers for, right? And so hiring the right folks to help you along the way is why companies like you and, you know, our friends like Kristen exist, right? To help get stories told. And so, well, amazing. It's one I love so much, learning about the publishing space, and I love how much you're helping other, you know, strong leaders tell their story in a way that is going to help, you know, not just with their goals, but make us all, you know, better people. So I appreciate the work that you do.
It's most fun ever. And, you know, when, you know, somebody comes in and they've got a great idea and they just need a little help, watching it go through and then, actually holding the book in your hand after, I mean, it's just, it's beyond exciting. It is really thrilling. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we're just about finishing up here time-wise, but you give me advice pretty much every single day, every time we talk to each other. You know where I'm at with my business. I just launched about almost 6 months ago. And so I've been a little bit building the plane while flying it. And, you know, there's just so many pieces of gold that you've given me over this time, but I would love, you know, what would be your number one advice to someone in my position who's just starting their entrepreneurial journey and, you know, maybe is working more in the business than on the business? Like, what type of advice would you give to someone in this position, i.e. me?
Oh, this is fun. There's, you know, only so many hours in a day. And most of the time, you know, somebody like yourself who's super creative and has 1,001 ideas is to stay very disciplined, to focus on the critical few and get a good product launch for the critical few and really come up with what works, get your pricing down, make sure you have a solid message and start to see some results that you can use as case studies before you take on way too much. I would think and it does take discipline because right now I can think of at least 10 different products that you could be focused on. But you're being very smart and focusing on a few things to really get them built out first before expanding from there. The other thing is make sure that whatever your pricing structure is, you're really being very focused on what your gross margins look like. What does it cost to produce that work? Because many times we're just so excited we have a customer and we go ahead and we charge, you know, X amount. We're not doing the data analytics on the back end to ensure that we're making the right profitability on what it is that we're selling. Those would be two things. I mean, there are so many things, but if you can focus on a critical few and make sure that the prices that you are selling those and gathering information early on, it will help you as you grow and expand.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it's funny because even when you talk about pricing, you almost, when I first got into this, I undervalued what it was I was doing because I just didn't necessarily know. And then people would sign on right away. I'm like, well, this is interesting. And so you kind of have to test it out a little bit. But then once there's not that, you know, objections, like, well, maybe it's time to, you might want to price that a little bit higher. Right. So I appreciate all of your input so far on this. It's been, I couldn't do it without you. So,
oh my gosh, I wouldn't want to be on any other journey or ride. And like I said, I'm in the front row with popcorn, getting to watch you blossom and grow. And the really cool thing about what you're doing, and it really complements what I do, and is the help that you're giving people building their platform and growing and expanding it. It's not straightforward as one would think. I think a lot of people struggle with it. And you're just so gifted at it. So I get to see the work that you're doing with others and how it's helping them. And it's just, I love my front row seat. I'm not letting anyone else have it. I get to watch.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you being there and my biggest cheerleader. Well, Dee, how can we get in touch with you if we want to talk mentorship and also learn more about book publishing, if that's in your future?
Oh my gosh. Yes. If anybody out there is thinking about a book, have a conversation with me. I can help you. Even if you don't want to work with me or Greenleaf, I'm so happy to assist you and share any knowledge that I have. You can find me at LinkedIn, at Greenleaf Book Group. And I would love to help you if you have any questions.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dee.
Thank you so much, Natasha.